Good evening. Well, it was a busy day today, wasn't it, so far? So, I am curious to find out how we did. So, Brother Tim is going to tell us, all right? Come up here. So, I wasn't in the gym the whole time, but I was hearing some big numbers thrown out there, I'm telling you. I didn't get any desserts, all I know. I tried.
Thank you, Brother Brad. I just got a spoonful of the dessert that we got, and then I was told hands off.
So yeah.
Kind of watching my weight, but anyway. So last year, there was a little confusion about what we raised last year. So let's clarify that. Last year, we raised $9,760. This year, our unofficial total that we have received so far is $9,675. So we're right in there. And I texted Brother Philip, who's out of town, and he said that there's still more money coming in through Giblify. So I don't want to give the exact total until that's reconciled. But I think based on what he's saying, the odds are high that we've exceeded that. But the unofficial $9,675. And thank you to everybody. Everybody pitched in, from setting up chairs to setting up sound system in the kitchen. All of you ladies and men cooking and preparing, and it was a resounding success, and we just pray that the Lord return that Brother Robert 100-fold in the mission field.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brad.
Oh, yeah, we had three potlucks just recently. You know, I'm potlucked out, so I don't know about you. But they're fun, I tell you. We're going to look into I'm tired, all right? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 45 also, but I wanted to start with what I end with. It's a verse here in Proverbs 29:2. You know, Brother Kenny, a few months ago, could have been a couple years ago, you know, I was driving recently and came across a Buc-ee's gas station. You know what Buc-ee's are? They're great, big, huge gas stations, you know. I really like them because the bathrooms are clean, all right? And that means a lot when you're on the road and you pull over. And I was telling Alicia, hey, there's a Buc-ee's at this place. And she's like, it's been there for 5 years. And I'm like, oh, I guess I haven't been that way in 5 years then. And so Brother Kenny might have done this 5 years ago. I'm not sure. But he gave, I wouldn't call him insignificant. What'd you call him, Brother Kenny? The people in the Bible that, you know, were just mentioned once or? Yeah. Lesser known. Thank you. Lesser known. And so this is kind of about a lesser known person. Every once in a while, you know, I've read the Bible several times, but you'll come and all of a sudden you say, I don't remember this verse. You ever like that? And so the book of Jeremiah was like that, chapter 45. But the first verse I want to do is in Proverbs 29:2. And in Proverbs 29:2, I don't have it. There we go. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You know, we don't live in a vacuum. We, you know, as people are going to be surrounded by a society. And if that society is wicked, we're going to pay the price. Whether it's you're going through the McDonald's drive-through, or even the Chick-fil-A one happened to me last week. And you find out they didn't put the nuggets in there, all right, when you get home. You know, it's just like, why can't people even just get an order right, you know? It's because they didn't go to school or they didn't study, you know? And just generally in society, things, you know, I think we're seeing I know I'm the degradation. Things are going down. The quality of services, you know, that you get. Just, wow, what's going on? And that's part of this proverb here is that our society is growing more and more wicked. People don't care about other people. They care about themselves. And that reflects in how you're treated in all sorts of things in life. But let's go to Jeremiah chapter 45. And what we're going to do is read this entire chapter. Now, most of you think, whoa, but there's only what? Five verses in Jeremiah chapter 45. All right, and then we're going to go back and go through several chapters, and then we're going to have a summation of that. All right, so verse 45, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch. Now, that's how you say it. I Googled it and everything, all right? I made them pronounce it to me. Baruch, all right, the son of Uriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, so here's a guy, all right, Jeremiah's telling this guy to write something down, okay, and it's in the fourth year of this king's reign. What he's going to write down is about him. I'm going to have you write down something about what God's going to say to you. All right? Now, this is the inspired word of God. You got it right here. God is saying, Jeremiah, write these things down. Okay? Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added to my sorrow, and I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And here's the verse. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. So here's a guy kind of told what's going to go on. And if we turn now back all the way to chapter 36, even though 45 is right here, we're going to go back 9 chapters, and it's the same time period, because it's going to be when? In the fourth year of this guy. So everything that we're reading here, all right, in chapter 36, he was warned about in chapter 45, that these things were going to happen. You know, that'd be nice for some of us to know the basic course of our ministry before it happened. And I think God does that when your ministry is going to be what? Tough. Maybe not seemingly fruitful. He told Jeremiah the same thing, didn't he? If we know the context of this, Jeremiah is a prophet at the very end of the kingdom of Judah's existence, all right? Israel, the northern 10 tribes, in 721 BC, had been taken into, not captivity, but dispersed and killed. And amongst all the nations, you know, and they'd taken up into Assyria and assimilated into the Assyrian society. And then the two tribes that remained, Judah and Benjamin, were still down south. And they had better kings, and so they lasted a little longer. But in 585 B.C., it happened over a course of a few years, that the Babylonians came down and took those people captive. They killed some of them, but they took them captive and brought them back to Babylon. And this is when that's happening. It hadn't happened yet, but it's about to happen. And so Jeremiah is given the job of, I want you to go to the rulers of the kings of Judah, and I want you to preach to them, you guys had better watch out. If you don't repent, if you don't change your ways, the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar are going to come down and are going to destroy this city. Basically, the kingdom of Judah had been beaten up enough that all they had by this time was the fenced area of Jerusalem left, you know. And so Jeremiah is preaching, and God tells him before, you know, that, hey, these people are not going to what? They're not going to listen to you, all right? They're not going to listen to you. And so Jeremiah begins his ministry Verse 36, we're partway into it. It says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Remember, that's the same thing that we read in chapter 45. So we're just going back in time. All right. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord saying, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I've spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all nations from the day I spake unto thee, from even the days of Josiah, even to this day. So Jeremiah, I've been telling you a bunch of things. Let's write these things down, okay? It may be the house of Judah will hear the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, and I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. It's sort of amazing as we go through how many times God is just, okay, I'll give you another chance. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon the roll of a book. So this guy was what? He was Jeremiah's scribe. He was a trusted guy. He was educated. To be a scribe was a big thing in society. He was probably privileged, you know, well educated, and he is entrusted with being Jeremiah's right-hand man. You know, not the greatest job, probably, okay? Because, you know, you're going to be the right-hand man of a prophet that people aren't going to listen to and they're going to despise, okay? And we're going to jump around here quite a bit. So he does that. And verse 13, then Michalah declared unto them all the words that he had heard. And when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people, well, in between there, Jeremiah says to him, I can't go preach to these people. God's told me what to say, but I'm persona non grata right now in the temple area and these places. So not only do I want you to write these things down, but you're going to have to also deliver it to them. You're going to have to preach to them, all right? And so he preaches to the people first, all right? And then the princes hear it, you know, from the people in verse 15, and they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass when they heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words at his mouth? And Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you be. We're going to go tell the king about this. But we're not sure how he's going to what? He's going to take it, all right? Because, you know, when the wicked rule, the people suffer. In verse 22 now, if we'll go there. Now the king sat in the window in the ninth month, and there was fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Boy, he didn't receive it. Nancy Pelosi moment here, you know, almost, you know. Remember when she was ripping up the stuff? And so Jeremiah, you know, through Baruch, reading it to him, the princes, or one of these guys that they appointed, and he's just ripping it up, throwing it in the fire. That's what he thinks about that, all right? They were not afraid, verse 24, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. All right. And then there are a couple of people that basically say, hey, you might want to really consider this. All right. And so the king did what? In verse 26, he took Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet. He wanted to get them. But the Lord what? Hid them. So he said, no, I'm going to get these people. Verse 28, take thee again another. And so the Lord tells him, all right, Jeremiah, get some more paper. Get Baruch, and let's write these things down again. In verse 28, take again another roll and write in all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, burned. And so they did that. Verse 32, Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. All right? So what's funny is that, you know, this king is what you would really call lukewarm. He goes back and forth quite a bit. Chapter 37, verse 3, and then Zedekiah the king and Jehukal the son of Shelemiah and Zephaniah the son of Manasseh. I'm just going through these now. The priest of the prophet Jeremiah saying, pray now unto us, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Oh, will you pray for us? I'm not listening to what the Lord says, but pray for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him in prison. All right? And then historically, what's happening going on here? All right? Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. When the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So the Chaldeans are the Babylonians, basically. And they had besieged Jerusalem. All right? But then there's another big power in the world back then, and it's Egypt to the south. Babylon's to the north of Israel. Egypt is to the south. And so the Egyptians came up to help out, you know, the king of Judah. And some of the Chaldeans were like, I guess we don't have a big enough force, let's take off. And so they were like, see, Jeremiah, you don't know what you're talking about. These Chaldeans have turned and run. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying in verse 6, and he goes on to say again, hey, it doesn't matter. If these people were sick and wounded, the Chaldeans, the Egyptians will not stand before them. Then Jeremiah went forth, verse 12, out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin. He said, I'm going to take off. I'm going to go somewhere else. And what happens there, some of the people of Judah say, hey, you're taking off. You're a scaredy cat. All right? We got these Egyptians here to protect us. And Jeremiah said, I'm not taking off just because I'm scared. I'm just taking off. Wherefore, verse 15, the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. So they throw him in jail. This is the first time. Throw him in jail. And when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. You know, we glance over that. Many days he's thrown into a jail. Verse 17. And then this guy is this back and forth king. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? You know, I've already told you the word of the Lord, you know, many times. But what did he do? Yeah, you burnt it. Remember that moment there? But that's just kind of what he was dealing with. In verse 21, then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the prison. So basically, Jeremiah just told him the same thing. Yeah, judgment's coming. Well, I'm just going to put you back in prison. All right? Chapter 38 comes along. All right? And the princes, because this king was easily manipulated too. You know, he was a king. You know, you think of absolute monarchs and everything. But he had a bunch of people, nobles we call them now today, and princes, that basically pushed him around and thought for him. Chapter 38, verse 4, therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, who Jeremiah, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war that remain in this city. This Jeremiah is a bad guy. And, you know, he's weakening everybody's mind. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand. Okay, you guys do what? And for the king is not that he can do anything against you. You guys can do what you want. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon, all right? Once again, in Jeremiah, in the end of verse 6, it says, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. I mean, they're just getting worse and worse what they're doing. And then you have a little dialogue of an Ethiopian guy going up to the king and say, hey, because he knows the king's a little wild. The princes, they really want it out after Jeremiah. But the king, you know, they go to him and say, hey, you know, watch out. Take him up. And he says in verse 10, then the king commanded the Ethiopian, saying, take thee hence 30 men with thee and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. Let's pull him out, okay? They're not going to let him go, though. Verse 14. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And he said, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. All right? Jeremiah is once again, okay, he said, tell me what's going on. Tell me once again. And he says, and Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? All right? Verse 16, so Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth, unto thee made this the soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee in the hand of these men that seek thy life. Verse 17, and then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou will assuredly go forth. This is the mercy of God, you know. After all, this guy has done all these things. It reminds me of myself, you know. I act with God something. If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house. Okay. All right. You probably won't rule the city anymore or anything, but you're going to live, and, you know, and you're going to get out of there. All right. Verse 19, and Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. I'm sorry, I just can't what? I'm afraid of these princes, and all right, and of the Jews. Okay, and so it goes on that they refused, all right? And the verse 28 of chapter 38, so Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. So eventually Nebuchadnezzar comes, he gets rid of the Egyptians, and he takes the city, all right? And we've got chapter 38 and chapter 39 and 40, or excuse me, chapter 39, 40, 41, and 42, and then I want to come to chapter 43, all right? And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto the people all the words of the Lord, for he had sent, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, he spake. Then, I won't even go through the names, this group of people, said, they accused him and said, thou speak, verse 2, thou speak falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. So there was a remnant left, all right, even after the Chaldeans came, and they said, we need to flee to Egypt, a symbol of the world, all right? And so Jeremiah tells them what? No, don't go to Egypt. But what did they do? They took all, in verse 5, it says, they took all the remnant of Judah that were returned, all right? And verse 6, and Jeremiah the prophet and Baruch the Lord, all right? And they're doing the will of the Lord and being faithful. Sometimes we're caught in what? And then we've got what? Next time we got him mentioned here in chapter 44. I'm just jumping around here. Verse 11 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. And they shall be even consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine, and everyone shall be an excretion and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I have punished them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. So, all right. And in verse 28, it said, yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. So I think that Jeremiah did make it back and to Jerusalem from Egypt. All right. And then we have chapter 45, where we have this guy. All right. And God says to him in verse, he tells him basically, you know, I know you're upset about your life and your situation in life, okay? And I know, in verse 5, what does he say? And you seek great things for thyself. You know, this guy was disappointed. He had this ministry with Jeremiah, saw all this devastation, and you know, he was even accused of conspiring against the Jews, you know, and adding to Jeremiah's words even worse words, okay? And what's he still wants what out of life? You know, he's like any of us. He still wants what? Great things, all right? And I'm thinking about this verse when I'm reading it, and I think about, you know, the younger generation in our country, you know, and how they probably aspire to great things. But I'm afraid, what? They're not going to enjoy great things in life, maybe. Very probably. I hate to say, I kind of joke with my class sometimes, don't I, that, you know, we've left you with all this debt, and we've left you with this. And I think about that when I read this, that there are times when we need to educate our kids that times are going to get tough, probably. It's very likely. You know, Brother Brian will probably comment on some things that came to him, you know, that kids, you know, I know you aspire to great things, but guess what? They might not happen in your life, all right? It's not going to be the good old days, maybe, that you worked at Walmart in the home office and you were a good deacon, and therefore you what? Got a good report, you know? Hey, he's a good deacon in church. You know, he should go up for this promotion. Nowadays, it's what? Oh, he's homophobic, you know? It's a detriment to have a testimony, a good testimony in Christ today. Often that's the world that they're being raised in. That instead of godliness and righteousness being rewarded, it's being what? It's being punished. But what does he say? Thou seekest great things for thyself, seek them not. He basically said, don't do that. You know, it's going to be disappointing, I'm afraid. And as you can see, when we go back to chapter 36 and read through, it was one disappointment after another he was involved with Jeremiah. But, and God says, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. Okay? And in verse 4, it says, thou shalt say unto him, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. Hey, I'm in charge here. Amen. You're living in time in an era where there's judgment coming upon this land. I'm sorry, that's just what? The way it is. As we say, suck it up, buttercup. All right, you know, it's just the way it is. That's what you're born into in this time and this age. And you may want to aspire to great things. You got plans. You know, one thing I'm fortunate, I never really was a real purpose-driven youngster growing up, kind of just like a pinball, you know, kind of bouncing around. But there's some young people that really have what? They got plans in life, right? They got plans. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying to just, you know, lay down and die, but we're living in an age that you might have a lot of disappointment in life compared to the rest of us. We were privileged to live in a land of opportunity, weren't we? There's so much opportunity for us. But when I honestly look at the future, not some doomsday, the reality is that things are getting bad out there, all right? But he says what? I'll bring evil upon all flesh, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. All right? I'm still going to give you your life. All right? I'll protect your life. It's not going to be easy, a prey. All right? And that's the one thing that we can hang on to is what? Our life is in the hand of what? In the hand of God. Even in the midst of a terrible, wicked generation. You know, in the U.S., we, as Christians, we're just so used to, you know, so many opportunities, things out there in many countries. You become a Christian, what happens? It's persecution. It's death, maybe. All right? It's not a ticket to a better future. It's a ticket to what? A prey for other people, in a sense. P-R-E-Y. They're after you. And so, the one thing, let's not give people false hope, let's not, though, just dash everybody's hope, but the one thing that you can count on is what? God is going to be with you. He's got our life in His hands. Amen. We have eternal life.
Amen.
Nobody can take us from that. Nothing. Amen. All right? And every disappointment we may have, educationally, vocationally, all right, romantically, whatever it is,
Amen.
God can take us through that. Don't put your hopes in what? This world. If you do, you'll be disappointed, is what he told this guy, especially in the day and the age that you're living in.
Amen.
And what I'm saying from this pulpit is, I fear that we're in that day and age too, with a lot of the people, for us, as old people, all right, older, and for the young people. What was the verse that says they knew that there were certain people that knew the times? Where is that? I tried looking that up, couldn't find it. Who were those people? Remember? Yeah. All right. And so we need to, as a church, as parents, let our kids know what times they're in. All right. These aren't like good times like that show. All right. We're approaching bad times, and we need to have a proper mind to handle that and to process that as it comes in and not be overwhelmed by it. But also continue in the hope that what? We're in God's hands ultimately. You know? So going back to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, what does it say? All right, when the righteous what? Rule, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that's the people of God too. We got to live in that same old society. Amen? Well, me, Brother Brian.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. Oh my goodness. Well, but we have a great expectation. We see all this stuff coming. We're closer and closer to Christ coming. And that's our hope, is the resurrection and a new paradise with Christ ruling. That's on its way in a hurry, it seems to me like. The time's not something the Lord looks at, really. 1,000 years is the same as... In other words, He sees things and operates according to eternity. And but He put us in a time system, and He gave us expectations in terms of the time system. And so He talks about the nearness of His coming. You know, there was another prophet there in the days of Jeremiah, Obadiah. Well, he was after, I guess. I'm a little confused exactly when he came on the scene, but it was after the Babylonians came and took the Jews away. And a lot of them escaped, and he made some reference of that in Jeremiah, into Egypt. And there was a group of people that got into their way and kept them from going to Egypt, because they did manage to live over in Egypt. But that's not where God wanted them. But the Lord really got on to the Moabites. You know who they were? You know who the Moabites were? They were the children of Esau. You know who Esau was? He was Jacob's brother. He and all of his heritage and the nations built after the day of Jacob and Esau, they hated the Jews for what Jacob had done against their father. And they thought that they were, well, read Obadiah. It's very interesting if you have that perspective on it. Because the Lord told told these people that, hey, I'm going to cut you off as a nation. You're not going to survive as a nation. And a heritage, you're not going to have a heritage, because I'm going to cut you off fully. And they didn't believe it because they were a place like America in our time. They were, nobody could whoop up on them because they were in a situation that opposing armies couldn't penetrate. So they used tricks. People that came after Esau's people, and they were eliminated. But if you see a lot of in history today, their stronghold was all stone. All the buildings were cut out of stone. You couldn't get into that place except through a small hole, a slit, through a cliff. And so you could hold off anybody anywhere. And they had plenty of water up there and plenty of everything, you know. So they should not have been able to be whooped. But they were, and eliminated. But you can still see pictures of the what they call the Egyptian banking system, or bank, in the city of the capital of the... the sons of Moabites, yeah.